Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Today we'll be talking about Peter Boyles this morning on KHAL Radio. He's a Denver morning talk show host. And he made a reference to something he heard on the radio yesterday. Turns out he heard it right here on Bob Inyart Live with Brian Rohrbaugh and I talking about the church murderer from Sunday. And so I'm going to talk about Peter's comments and address that. He said basically he scoffed at the notion that I stated that tyrannical governments typically will register and confiscate guns before they commit genocide. He sort of scoffed at that, and I emailed him during his show, and then he clarified his remarks at the end of his 8 o'clock hour, I think it was, this morning. We'll talk about that. Also, how's that global warming treating you today? How's that global warming treating you today? I'm thankful for Metro Gas right here in Denver because we were freezing. Turns out we ran out of propane last night, and we were freezing, and they came out, and what a great job. Metro Gas in Denver, 303-428-3036. That's 428-3036. Thank you, Metro Gas. And they got us nice and toasty now, so we can do a great show. Everybody's feeling wonderfully here at Bob Inyart Live. We have a little bit of creation news for you. And then to talk through, of course, this church murderer from Sunday, the evidence is coming in that it is another Columbine copycat crime, that there were warning signs, there always are, that went unheeded, and that he hated Christians. And, of course, there are liberals in the media like who? Just pick a – how about Reggie Rivers? He's a good one. Former Bronco columnist who – remember what he wrote about Christians some years ago? He wrote this in one of his weekly columns. He wrote – was that in the Denver Post? He wrote, "I'm not condoning it, but I can understand why the Romans killed the Christians." Remember that? Imagine saying that about any group other than Christians. Imagine saying a bit about blacks. I'm not condoning it, but I understand why the KKK would lynch blacks. Imagine that. It would be the end of your career. It should be the end of your career because that's a hateful, racist, kind of bigoted statement. Imagine saying, "I'm not condoning it, but I understand why the Germans killed the Jews." That would be it, and it should be it. But Reggie Rivers says, "I'm not condoning it, but I understand why the Romans killed the Christians." And he just continued on as a star, a media star in the Denver, you know, in Colorado. Former Bronco sportscaster. And he should have been fired. He should have been blackballed from media in Colorado. But so now what is he going to say with this murderer saying his hatred for Christians, and Christians are responsible for much of the what in the world? He can't believe in right and wrong, right? So he should say, Christians are responsible for much of the neutral in the world. So, and what's Reggie Rivers going to say? "Hey, I'm not condoning it, but I can understand this kid's desire to kill Christians." I guess that's his position. What a fool. And then we have this evolution creation news. There's always great evolution creation news to show that we are not animals. We did not evolve from slime, from goo through the zoo to you. That never happened. You're not a monkey. You don't have a monkey for an uncle. You're a human being created in God's image and likeness. And all the suffering that ever occurs happens because someone rebelled against their creator God. Someone, somewhere. Usually most of our suffering comes from our own sin, our own rebellion against God, but also there is the sin of others that causes suffering, as we see now in a big, horrendous way with the murder this Sunday. And apparently this guy was homeschooled, but he's now a young adult, and he's lived for some years and moved in circles where he hated Christians. He grew to hate Christians. And I know there are liberals who will blame the victims. there are liberals like Reggie Rivers. Maybe he'll dig up his old quote and say, I'm not condoning it, but I understand this murderer's desire to kill Christians. Reggie, why don't you bring that quote right up? Why don't you bring it up? Maybe you'll get a raise. This is a good time to bring your quote up, Reggie. Go ahead, you could do it. Peter, you think he should bring it up? You think he should be condemned now by the secular media? Okay, so in Creation Evolution News, you know the Creation Research Society, we do these programs occasionally called Real Science Friday with their webmaster, Fred Williams. What a great guy he is. And Creation Research Society has some really neat news. They've just installed two electron microscopes in their Van Andel Research Center in Arizona, in Chino Valley, Arizona. So that's cool. Creationist having full-time access to two electron microscopes. And the Creation Research Society has been doing original research, funding research, publishing research in their CRS quarterly for 40-some years now. So that's great. And this out of the Howard Hughes Medical Institute, and this is reported as the Stupid Evolution Quote of the Week by Creation Matters, a publication of the Creation Research Society. And I think they probably got something there. Here's the quote, all right, from Howard Hughes Medical Institute. Evolution has mastered the art of turning trash to treasure. You know how the evolutionists said most of our DNA is junk, and they called it junk DNA? Now, there are many evolutionists who are saying, we never talked about junk DNA. We never said there was such a thing as junk DNA. They're just such liars and cowards. I mean, you make a mistake, admit to it. Well, the junk DNA, supposedly a small part of your DNA, 3 billion base pairs of amino acids, coded for proteins. They called them genes. And a lot of the rest was just junk. And so Eugenie Scott, who's the number one world-renowned anti-creationist, physical anthropologist. I debated her on Bob and Yurt Live, this show, 10 years ago almost. And I asked her, what's your evidence against creation? What's your evidence? I said, give me some evidence that any of the major sophisticated systems like eyesight or hearing or radar location or mobility, that any of those evolved. What's your best evidence? And she wouldn't give evidence, and I asked her for about an hour over and over. Finally, she gave her best evidence was junk DNA. And she said, we understand that most of our DNA is junk, and that's evidence that there is no creator. Because why would he fill our DNA with junk? So I said, well, Eugenie, we're just beginning to understand genetics. And she said, oh, no, no, we understand most of what there is to know about DNA and genetics. And I couldn't believe my ears. From a degreed scientist, world-renowned evolutionist, the number one anti-creationist in the country, Eugenie Scott. So I gave her the opportunity to retract that statement. I told her otherwise, we're writing it down. We got the date, the time, the quote. Eugenie Scott in the mid-90s says, we now know most of everything there is to know about genetics. I mean, what a joke. Back then, we knew it was a joke. So it turns out that whenever they study a piece of junk DNA, they find out that it's not junk, that it's vital. And if there's a mutation in a piece of junk DNA, guess what happens? You get a disease. So it's not junk. So they say they've been studying and they've traced a 170 million year evolution of a piece of junk DNA to its modern use as an important regulator of energy balance in mammals. And this article goes on to speak of genes that they say are about 200 million years old, that evolution used as raw material for its evolution. And they say that, but the sequences of genes, they were conserved, that is, they were unevolved all that time. So isn't that funny? They were unevolved, but evolution used them. And this sequence of genes was just perfect. And now we have an important regulator of energy balance in mammals in something that the evolutionists said was junk. And if it's not there, you're out of whack. Your metabolism is out of whack. So anyway, real cool. The creationists are on the march, and you don't need to understand the genetics of a cell to know that there's a creator God and that this did not happen by random chance and then conserved by natural selection. I mean, that's absurd. Eyesight. You know how sophisticated it is to have eyesight? And you're going to develop a sophisticated system of seeing without an organism knowing there's such a thing as the whole visual realm. And that whole system is going to evolve all by chance and natural selection when there's nothing to select, because if the eyesight doesn't work, it doesn't give you a competitive advantage. So what? So how many thousands of mutations have to happen in order to create a functional system that'll give you some benefit of eyesight and with no reproductive benefit until you have a functioning vision system, even if it doesn't function real well? It's just a joke. And they tell us that limbs evolved, like arms or legs evolved into wings. Okay, so how long is it a bad limb before it's a good wing? How long will it take? How many generations? Two or thousands to evolve from a leg or an arm into a wing? And then you have this really lousy arm or leg evolving into a wing. And they don't have that. That's all make-believe, by the way. And it's just absurd. And then you have your circulation system, and that's got to evolve. And how does that evolve? What, you have a heart evolves, and it's not pumping until it's a pump, right? It can't pump until it's a pump. So a pump can't be open. It has to be closed. There has to be pressure, and it has to have muscles contracting and relieving that pressure. And that has to be coordinated basically with an electrical firing system. And then what's the good of a pump if there are no arteries to pump it through? And so the pump has to evolve. Does that evolve before the arteries that are hooked up to the pump or after? Do the arteries evolve when there's no pump? I mean, the whole thing is inane. And just wait. Eventually, it's all going to come down on their heads. And even on Judgment Day, when they stand before God, their creator, and he explains how he made the heart to beat and how it developed it in the womb as the heart begins to form. And it's beating before it's even a heart. It's beating from before it's a heart. And God explains how he did all that. And there are going to be people like Darwin and like, you know, name it, Obama or Mitt Romney or Fred Thompson. And they're going to be saying, oh, no, it evolved. And God will say, well, actually, it couldn't evolve. And I created it. I designed it. I did it like this. And they're going to say, oh, no, we don't believe you. You're just lying. You're just trying to take the credit for what? For accidents? So when you reject the creator God, your whole life, you could plan on this. If you reject the creator God, or if you live ignoring him, it would be like buying a brand new truck and ignoring the owner's manual and the manufacturer's warnings, and they say you got to make sure that there's oil in the engine, otherwise you'll ruin the engine. And you say, oh, that's stupid. I don't need oil in the engine. And so you try to run your nice new truck with no oil in the engine, and you just melt down the block. And then you get mad at the manufacturer. You say, how dare they give me this lousy truck? So that's what it's like trying to live your life either in rebellion against God, or rejecting him, openly hating him, or just passively, like passive aggressive, or just ignoring him. Big mistake. And on this day of global warming, we are enjoying a nice, cozy, ambient temperature of 73 3 degrees, thanks to Metro Gas. Boy, they really saved us, didn't they? It was freezing. How would we have even talked in here? All right, so this morning, Peter Boyles, he's discussing the murders. And when yesterday in studio, we had the president of American Right to Life, Brian Rohrbaugh, here. And we talked through the security guard down at New Life Church in Colorado Springs, having her gun and going after the murderer. And everyone else is running away and she's going toward the murderer, which is perfect. That's courage. That's heroism. At Columbine, everybody who should have been going toward the shooting, they were, for the most part, they formed a perimeter. And early on, the police reports were completely fabricated when they said things like the paramedics were helping students while they were under fire. And that wasn't true. And the Jefferson County Sheriff's Department, it's been completely objectively verified that they changed the timeline. The girl who died last, they said she died first. And all that was done because they didn't want to make it obvious, which it eventually became obvious, that the sheriff of Jefferson County was sitting in a command vehicle and he called for the file on the murderers and they were looking to see whether or not they had interaction with these guys in the previous months and years, and they had. And they went out publicly and denied it over the next coming days and weeks and months until finally the paperwork came out of Jefferson County that they were lying, that they had a meeting, and they said they were going to cover up the fact that they had an application for a search warrant that for some reason internally was squashed. They never pursued that, and they had the accusations of death threats and website and pipe bombs, and they basically let it all go. And so Columbine was very possibly avoidable. And so because of that, Jefferson County, they lied in the most despicable ways about what actually happened. Just despicable lies. So we're talking about the heroism of this security guard who went after the shooter. Now, if the police down in El Paso County, if the security guards were to use the Jeffco model, then they would all run away from the shooter and go about a block away and get behind the cars and wait and give the shooters as much time as they wanted, this case one murderer, to kill as many people, unarmed kids, women, children, wait till they run out of bullets, till they get bored and kill themselves. That would be the Jeffco model. But no, the whole country learned after Columbine, don't do it the Jeffco way. When there's a live shooter situation, you go after the shooter. And this woman, she had the courage that the Jeffco Sheriff's Department didn't have. She went after the shooter. And so, you know what? Maybe he shot himself. I don't know. Maybe under the pressure, he shot himself, or maybe she killed him. We'll find out for sure, right, with the ballistics. But she's the hero. She is a hero. So we were talking about this and how liberals will say, well, like Reggie Rivers, he'll say, hey, I understand why this guy wanted to kill the Christians. I don't condone it, but I understand why. Some liberals will say that. Other liberals will say that we need gun control. And so I was pointing out on the show yesterday that gun control was used by so many tyrants. They register guns, they confiscate guns, and then they commit genocide. And that's a pretty typical trend. And the Nazis did it to the Jews. And in the Soviet Union, they had gun control. And in Cuba and so on. And so Peter Boyles went on his show this morning. And he said, I heard it on the radio that they were confiscating guns in Germany and the Soviets. And he said, that's just not true. You know, he debunked it. He said, that's not true. So I was a bit taken aback by that because, I mean, I haven't looked at that issue in 10 years or more. But that's my general understanding that a lot of these genocides committed by governments were first, they were preceded by registering, confiscating guns. So I looked up a few headlines, and during his show, I emailed to Peter a headline from the New York Times from 1938, when the headline was that the Berlin police disarmed the Jews. And, of course, that preceded immediately this genocide. And so then Peter took about 10 minutes. He mentioned that email and took about 10 minutes on his show to discuss and sort of try to downplay the confiscation of guns before genocides of governments. And, you know, he made some valid points. But I think as I've looked at that issue, I think that it is true. There is this trend that governments will impose gun control and then commit genocide. And the Europeans will mock America because of our high murder rate. But if you look, say, in the last 70 years, and you look at all the people murdered in America, it's a terrible high number. At the peak, it was like almost 25,000 a year. If we took that number and said it was that high for 70 years, that's still about 15 times lower than the number of Europeans murdered by their own governments who use gun control. So let's go to the phones. And yeah, this security gal, she used gun control, right? Gun control is a cool head and a keen eye and a steady hand. That's gun control. Let's go to Denver. Dave, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
How's it going, Bob?
Good, sir.
Hey, I was wondering, you were talking earlier about Reggie Rivers saying it was all right for Christians to be killed.
Oh, he wrote in a column, he said, I'm not condoning it, and I'm paraphrasing, but this is pretty close. He said, I'm not condoning it, but I can understand why the Romans killed the Christians.
Hmm. You know, I was watching TV the other night, and there was this movie trailer that came out for this new movie that's coming out called Dewey Cox. It's a supposed comedy about a country rocker. And there's one little scene in it where he's playing in a bar, and like a conservative Christian minister stands up and said, this is the devil's music. And then immediately one of the patrons in the bar hits him as hard as he can in the face.
Right.
And to me, that's just like a... To me, it's like a symbol of what's going on, the anti-Christian fervor.
Oh, yeah. How about
in America, it's like, is this funny?
How about Stephen King? He's that horror author, novelist. And he wrote the story that's now a movie called The Fog, I think it is. Mm. And it's intensely anti-Christian, where a woman who's portrayed through the movie as this fundamentalist, Bible-quoting Christian eventually wants to kill the star's son, offer him as a child sacrifice, and she gets killed in the movie. And when she does, the audience cheers.
Wow.
So how's that? I mean, could you do that against... They wouldn't do that against Muslims now, not even radical terrorist Muslims.
Yeah, if you name a teddy bear Muhammad, then there's a certain number of Muslims who want you to be executed.
Right, yeah. And they wouldn't do that against Jews, right? Make Jews look bad and make you want to kill the Jew because he's a Jew. They wouldn't do it against Native Americans. Oh, wait a minute. I said the wrong thing. I'm a Native American. They wouldn't do it against American Indians.
Right. Or Hindus.
They wouldn't do it against Hindus.
Or Buddhists.
Buddhists. They don't even believe in God. All right. Hey, Dave, thank you so much.
God bless you, Bob.
May God bless you. Let's go to Brighton, Colorado, 1-800-8-NYART. And by the way, that's the phone number for our catalog to order our videos. The Plot is now a brand new book. Listen to it.
Hello?
It's Perfect Bound. And you could call us 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. In Brighton, John, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hello, Bob. How are you?
Good. How are you? Good, sir. What's up?
Good. Yes. Just want to speak about the tragedy and that happened. And
yes.
Yeah, my sorrow on it as well. I was thinking, too, with a lot of the talk, with listening to lots of conservative talk shows, with such issues today facing America with, like, the housing foreclosure and the NAFTA superhighway and the rise of the collapse of the dollar and the supposed rise of the Amero and all these other things that just hit us in the media every day, do you think, I heard some conservative talk show hosts suggesting this, but do you think you see the possibility of a second American Civil War within our lifetime?
I think that's, John, I think it's extremely irresponsible to mention such things. Extremely. And talk show hosts that would indulge that, I think you should mark them as irresponsible. Maybe they would do that just to keep ratings through another day part and keep
right.
the audience tuning in. But the radical fringe on the conservative side, when they think of a civil war, they think that they're going to go out and get their militias and take their guns, and they think they're going to go fight Planned Parenthood and the homosexuals. That's what they imagine.
Right, the New World Order.
That they're going to be shooting down guys in tutus on rollerblades. But if these wackos ever tried to start a shooting war, they would be up against who? They'd be up against the Green Berets. They'd be up against the Marines. You know,
right.
That's who they'd be up against.
Right. This happened with the Liberty City 7, didn't it? Like, I remember that news story. Some guys that wanted to blow up the Sears Tower, and they tried to get what they hoped was an Al-Qaeda operative. It turned out to be an FBI informant.
And good for the FBI. So anyway,
definitely.
There is no right to kill governing officials because the officials are evil. There is no right to do that. God could have granted that right. He could have given us, each as an individual, the authority of a government that we could each conduct our own foreign policy, domestic policy, and use preemptive lethal force. But God withheld that authority, knowing that it leads to anarchy. So you know what, John? We're out of time.
Oh, all right.
But thank you for your call. Appreciate that. Hey, our phone number, 1-800-8-NUR, 1-800-836-9278. You could use that to help us to stay on the air. You could use it to ask for our catalog. You can order the plot. What? It's so neat. It's now perfect bound after 10 years and thousands of copies sold as a manuscript, a loose leaf manuscript. It's now perfect bound, and it's an overview of the whole Bible. And people get this and they tell us they love it because now the Bible makes sense to them. And of course, a money-back guarantee for all our Bible resources, our videos, our debates, evolution, creation, the whole bit, predestination and free will. There's so much available on our website also at kgov.com. So if you can, please call us and help us out. This time of the year could be difficult for a ministry. And remember, Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada. What a great school. And thank you, Metro Gas.